On today's show, we'll talk about prayer. What is it? Why should we do it? And how do we respond when people give us a hard time, when we're trying to show our faith in the Lord? You stay right there, because here we go. Hey there, you. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. I have saved a place for you. Come on, right up front. Got a chair right up front for you. Man, it is a hot but beautiful day here in South Jersey. I hope you're having a great day. Whatever you're doing, I'm glad you took some time to listen to the show. The gospel today really touched me. I talked about it at the beginning of the program, this idea that sometimes it's not easy to have faith. You're going to meet opposition. You're going to have people telling you, why do you believe in God? God's not going to get you out of this. Well, I want you to listen to what happens today when Jesus ran into this same type of problem. Also, I thought it would be appropriate to look at the catechism. I don't do a set format anymore. I used to stick to Mondays talking about what Catholics really believe, and I had a set format every day. I'm switching things up a little bit because I think it's more important to go with what feels right. I like to let the Holy Spirit lead me. Today, I feel He's leading me to talk about prayer as discussed in the catechism. So we'll continue on. We've been going through the catechism of the Catholic Church. In addition to the readings from today, we'll look at prayer, the revelation of prayer. How was Abraham a model of prayer? How did Moses pray? Some really good stuff here, so we can get what is the importance of the Psalms in prayer. Some good stuff here. We'll use the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church just to make sure you get a little bit of an understanding about prayer. I think it's an often confusing topic. We all kind of know what prayer is, but I think a lot of times we don't fully understand what prayer is all about. In essence, prayer is a relationship. It's a relationship between you and God. That's what prayer is. It's not just asking for things. So we'll touch on that a little bit on the program today. I've got a new beverage du jour today. Never had this one on the program before. I took a sip of it just before I went on the air, but I'm going to give you a taste of it right now. Here you go. Man, that is good. You know what that is? You're never going to guess. It's not Mystic Monk Coffee today. Cherry lemonade. Never had this before. This is Country Time cherry lemonade. Made with real sugar. A little bit tart, but it's got the cherry taste mixed in there. Really nice. They have all kinds of different ones. I think they have a raspberry one. They got regular lemonade. They got pink lemonade. Unfortunately, it doesn't have any lemon juice in it, but it's really tasty. And it is made with real sugar, so that's nice. Country Time cherry lemonade, my beverage du jour today. I did mention Mystic Monk Coffee. Even though it's summer, if you're a coffee drinker like I am, please check out the great coffee available from Mystic Monk Coffee. You could purchase some of this fine coffee at my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, make sure you make use of the Amazon link, because every time you use that link to shop at Amazon.com, yours truly gets a little bit of a profit, and that's one of the ways I keep this show free of charge, and I keep my full-time ministry operational. So I thank you for your support. I thank you also for your donations. You're the reason I'm here, and I really am grateful about that. And I'm glad to be here. I love talking about Jesus every night on the program. And in case, I don't know how you listen to the show, but that didn't sound good, did it? I don't know how you listen to the show. That's not what I meant. Somebody out there saying, yeah, you're right. I don't know how I listen to it either. You know, I had somebody tell me one time during Lent that it was part of his Lenten exercise. So I thought, man, this is brutal. He didn't mean it in a bad way, but it sounded like he was doing penance. This show is now available, of course, in Blog Talk Radio. That's where it started. You can get it in iTunes as well as TuneIn Radio. So you can take it with you wherever you go. It's getting more difficult to get away from me. And you can also listen to the program directly at my website by going to followingthetruth.com and the radio page. So that's the way you would be able to listen to it there. I've been doing it for over 5 years. We are in our sixth year of doing this show now. So it is really a great blessing to be able to do it. I'm so grateful that the Lord allows me to do this show. I'm grateful that you show up every day and listen to it. Please let your friends know that the program exists, that it's 30 minutes each night, Monday through Friday, when I talk about Jesus. You get some scripture every day. We pray together. Plus, you get some additional material. I mean, I don't think there's another show like it. The 30-minute format seems to work well. That's what I've been told. It works good for me. It works good for you. So I'm very grateful that you are a listener of this program. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray right now. We'll pray, and then we'll talk about the Mass readings. Then we'll talk a little bit about prayer. Does that sound like a plan? All right, very good. Let's begin with the prayer. Let's remember that we are in the Lord's presence wherever we are. He's with us. He can see us. He can hear us. He wants to help us. He's watching over us. He loves us unconditionally. It really is a good deal that our Heavenly Father cares that much about us. So let's talk to Him now. Let's ask for what we need, and let's thank Him for the blessings in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for letting us have another day. Thank you for creating us. You know, Father, we know that you love us unconditionally. We know that you created us so that we could live with you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit in heaven. We thank you for that. We ask you to bless us, to bless our family members, to bless all of those around us, to bless our co-workers, anybody we come into contact with. Bless them all. Help us to love you through the people around us, whoever they may be. Grant us the strength, the grace that we need to walk the walk that will one day lead to eternal life with you. We know that we can't do it on our own. We know that we need your help. We know that you want to help us. So please help us to follow your will at all times. Father, we ask you to help those who are sick. So many people are physically ill today. We ask you to help them, to heal them in the best way possible, and grant them the peace that comes along with having a relationship with you. We ask you to grant them that peace. We ask you to help those who are struggling with addictions, those who are dealing with financial difficulty, those who are suffering from religious persecution or maybe facing some sort of an extreme weather condition, those who are anxious, they need your help too, as well as those who are lonely. Loneliness is a very bad thing for so many people. And often people who are lonely suffer in silence and they suffer alone. So, Father, we ask you to help them, to remind them that they are never alone, that with you they always have companionship. We also ask you to accept our own personal intentions, Father in heaven, whatever they may be. We know that you can handle them better than we can. We know that you want to provide for us. Oftentimes we don't ask. Help us to always remember to ask for what we need, and help us to accept however you answer our prayers. I give you this show. This show belongs to you. I do it for you, Father, and I ask you to help me, to give me the words, to send your Holy Spirit to speak through me today, and of course, open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please put an end to abortion in the world, and help our help our government officials follow your law and not their own ambitions. We ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother, and we ask for her prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. And Saint Philip Neri, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wanted to get Saint Philip in there because today is his feast day. Just a reminder that tomorrow, Friday, we'll look at the Mass readings for Sunday, which is the most holy body and blood of Christ. Very special solemnity. It's sometimes known as Corpus Christi. So we celebrate that on Sunday. Let's chat a little bit about St. Philip Neri. He was a native of Florence, and St. Philip was ordained in Rome. He renewed the faith of the Romans through the ministry of the confessional and later the joyful meetings of the oratory. The Loose Association of Priests he founded to support this work counts Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman among its members. Of Philip, Newman wrote, "Nothing was too high for him, nothing too low. He taught poor begging women to use mental prayer. He took out boys to play. He protected orphans. Cardinals hung about his room and popes asked for his miraculous aid in disease. It was his mission to save people, not from, but in the world. And St. Philip Neri died in 1595. He was also known as being especially joyful. I think that's something that you and I could learn from. It's not easy to be joyful, especially when we're not feeling joyful. Amen? So many times we get overcome by events. We forget all of the great blessings we have in our life, in our lives. Not necessarily these material blessings, external blessings, but the blessing of having a relationship with the Lord. Really, it honestly can't get much better than that. The fact that the Lord is involved in our life, that he's available. We just spoke to him right now. That's certainly something that can give us joy, this relationship with the Lord. And what I would encourage you to do is to especially if you're struggling with this, to really focus on your blessings. And sometimes the Psalms are really good at that. I'm looking. Today, we're from the Mass readings, we'll read Psalm 100. That's a great one. And that's, in fact, that's one that you could pray every day, every morning. That would be a great psalm to pray. Psalm 95, Psalm 100, these are some really good psalms to pray because they help us to develop an attitude of gratitude. We've got very much to be grateful for. We have been created to live eternally with God in heaven. I mean, that's it. And that life in heaven is going to be a life devoid of any problems, suffering, sickness. It's going to be all pure joy. Now, what's the catch? The catch is you got to make it through this life first. That's the catch. And it's going to be over before you know it. And you know me, I tell you this all the time. I don't say that to be discouraging. I don't say it to bring you down. I say it to inspire you, to remember, help you to remember that this life isn't the end of the story. You were not created to live in this world, and that's it. You are created to live with God in heaven. That's why you're here. And you will do that forever, provided you stay close to him and you remain united to him and strive to do his will. And again, that's with his help. He's not asking you to do this on your own, but he expects us to try to the best of our ability to follow his commands. And if we love him, as we often say we do, we should want to obey him, right? We should want to do his will. This life, it's temporary. Don't get too hung up over the problems you have. It is temporary, and sometimes we have to keep focused. We should often keep focused on our eternal life in heaven. That's the reason we were created. So it's certainly something to be very grateful about if we remember to do it. But we've got to work at that because we can easily be overcome with problems. Anyway, I just wanted to say that because we've got a lot to be joyful about. Let's look at the Mass readings. We were just able to pray to our Heavenly Father. He hears us. He loves us. He watches us. We talk to Jesus. We will talk to the Holy Spirit. And right now, in fact, we will say, come, Holy Spirit, help us as we read these words. Inspire us to hear your meaning in these words. I mean, this is big. This is really big. We're getting to hear the inspired word of God. The first reading is from the letter. The first reading is from the first letter of St. Peter, beginning in chapter 2, verse 2. Beloved, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, so that through it you may grow into salvation. For you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen and precious in the sight of God. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and sojourners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against the soul. Maintain good conduct among the Gentiles so that if they speak of you as evildoers, they may observe your good works and glorify God on the day of visitation. Man, I'll tell you what, this is a powerful first reading. We are, I don't know where to start with this one. Like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk. And that's really what we're doing. We are, when we look at these readings, when we listen to the teachings of Jesus through his church, as we're going to do all that on the program today, that's the pure spiritual milk that helps us to grow closer to the Lord, which is a good thing, which will bring peace and joy into our lives if we continue the practice, and also it'll get us to heaven. So what happens when we get a little burned out and we don't have that desire? You know, I don't feel like reading my Bible today. I really don't get anything out of going to Mass. I don't like to pray, etc. Well, there are going to be times when all of us face that. There will be times when you just don't feel like doing anything spiritual. What you can do is pray for the grace to care more about spiritual matters than material matters. I'm a material person. I have been a collector throughout my life. I've shared the story before. I've collected everything from comic books to baseball cards to CDs to videos to DVDs. I've collected everything. Years ago, I prayed for that desire to cease because it was starting to cost me too much money. And then I would feel guilty about the purchases because I wasn't even enjoying them. It was the thrill of buying things. And you might have the same problem. A priest directed me, and I've shared the story before, to not so much try to fight this desire, because he said we're all material creatures. We all have that tendency. But just ask the Lord to take it away. And I did that. I struggled to do it. I didn't even want to say those words at first because I really enjoyed that, the thrill that I got from buying things, finding new merchandise, whatever it was. But I started praying that prayer, and now I have been selling off all of my collections of you name it. I've been doing that for the past few years, and I don't have the interest in more. On the other hand, I have the interest in studying the Bible, in praying, in going to church, and spending time with Jesus. I've never had these desires before. Ask for the help to that desire to really follow the Lord and to care about spiritual things. St. Peter also mentions the fact that he urges his readers to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against the soul. There are going to be some worldly desires that will, as he says, wage war against the soul, possibly jeopardize your chances of getting into heaven. Watch out. Pray for the grace. Okay, we talked about spiritual treasure, giving away things to charity. That's the way we build up spiritual treasure. Keep that in mind. It's really important. Let's look at the responsorial psalm. This is the one I mentioned. It's a good one to pray. Bookmark it in your Bible. Pray it every morning when you first wake up. Listen to the words, Psalm 100. Come with joy into the presence of the Lord. And remember, too, you are, wherever you are, you're in his presence, not his real presence. Certainly that you'd have to go to a church or an adoration chapel, but you've got his spiritual presence wherever you go. Please remember that. That's an important thing to remember. Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We are. His people, the flock he tends. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. The Lord is good. His kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. You might not always feel these words, but you can pray them. And if you give it a little thought and realize that he gave you this day, he gave you your life, he has sustained you for all these years, how many ever years you've been alive, that's something to be thankful for. And he always listens when you talk to him. He loves you unconditionally. He wants you to live with him in heaven. You know, it's not some sort of an exclusive country club when the Lord says, no, you have to earn a certain amount of money to live here. He wants you and me to live with him in heaven. So if we think about that, we should be joyful. Let me do the gospel now. This is Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. I mentioned at the start of the show that when you pray or when you have faith in God in maybe a difficult situation, you're going to encounter some people who will tell you, you're silly. Why are you putting your faith in God? You better take care of this yourself. I want you to listen to this gospel because it's really important. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped, and he said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and he came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed him on the way. Now, what would have happened if Bartimaeus listened to the crowd and was quiet when they told him to stop bugging Jesus? You're going to encounter those people. You're going to hear those voices in your head. Don't stop asking for what you need. It's so important that you don't stop asking for what you need. Because oftentimes, we're not persistent enough when we pray. We need to be persistent. If we feel that we need something, and you have needs right now, I know you do, keep asking for them. You are not bugging the Lord. Until he answers you, or until you decide that you don't need that particular thing, whatever it is, keep asking. Don't ever give up. It's a big mistake. Oftentimes, the Lord tests our faith. He wants to help us grow in faith so we don't get our answers all at once. Keep on praying, and don't listen to people when they tell you that you're putting your faith in someone or something unreliable when you say a prayer. That's not true. The God who created the universe is bigger than any problem that you could ever face in this life. People get cynical. People have doubts. Don't listen. That's not true. With God, all things are possible. If that was not the case, we wouldn't see those words written in sacred scripture. With God, all things are possible. So with that in mind, let's talk a little bit about prayer from the Catechism, or actually the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This little handy book, it's from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. It breaks the Catechism down into question and answers. And of course, this is the Catechism that came out in the 90s, the most recent one put out by the Church. This section is all about prayer. And I touched on this first one last week. I want to do it again. What is prayer? Prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the petition of good things from him in accord with his will. It is always the gift of God who comes to encounter man. Christian prayer is the personal and living relationship of the children of God with their Father, who is infinitely good. Did you hear that? Prayer is a personal relationship with you and me and our Father in heaven, with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit who dwells in their hearts. So the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your heart. We, on this program today, talk to our Heavenly Father. We prayed in union with Jesus Christ. We're covered. You just had an encounter with the Trinity. We talked to the Blessed Mother. We talked to St. Joseph today. I mean, we covered a lot of big people today. Prayer is an encounter. Prayer is a relationship. Every time you pray, you enter into a relationship with your Heavenly Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit. That is huge. Don't forget that. Why is there a universal call to prayer? Because through creation, God first calls every being from nothingness. Even after the fall, man continues to be capable of recognizing his Creator and retains a desire for the one who has called him into existence. All religions in the whole history of salvation in particular bear witness to this human desire for God. It is God, first of all, who ceaselessly draws every person to the mysterious encounter known as prayer. So sometimes we think this is me, it's my desire to pray. Well, really, it's God calling us to pray, but we're not necessarily seeing that. But don't fight the desire. We can fight it, or we can say, "I don't really feel like praying today," because we're distracted with all the junk happening in our lives. Make sure you pray every day. It's really, really critical. How is Abraham? Let's look at prayer in the Old Testament. How is Abraham a model of prayer? Abraham is a model of prayer because he walked in the presence of God, just like you and I, heard and obeyed him. You know, sometimes we struggle with hearing the Lord But of course, he just spoke to us in sacred scripture, and then obeying him. That can be also a challenge. Abraham's prayer was a battle of faith because he continued to believe in the fidelity of God, even in times of trial. How about you? Do you believe in God and the fact that he can do all things, even in times of trial? It gets a little tough, doesn't it? You can pray for that grace to be able to believe. Besides, after having received in his own tent the visit of the Lord who confided his plan to him, Abraham dared to intercede for sinners with bold confidence. So that's why Abraham is a model of prayer. Now, how about Moses? How did Moses pray? The prayer of Moses was typical of contemplative prayer. God, who called to Moses from the burning bush, lingered in conversation with him often and at length, face to face like a man with his friend. In this intimacy with God, Moses attained the strength to intercede tenaciously for his people. His prayer thus prefigured the intercession of the one mediator, Christ Jesus. So we see in the story of Moses, we see a type or biblical type or foreshadowing of the intercession of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, what relationship do the king and the temple have to prayer? The prayer of the people of God developed in the shadow of the dwelling place of God, the Ark of the Covenant, then the temple under the guidance of their shepherds. Among them was David, the king after God's own heart, the shepherd who prayed for his people. His prayer was a model for the prayer of the people because it involved clinging to the divine promise and a trust filled with love for the one who was the only king and Lord. What is the role of prayer in the mission of the prophets? And you remember throughout the Old Testament, the prophets would speak on behalf of God. Sometimes we think of prophets as strictly predicting the future, but really the role of a prophet is to be the go-between between the people and the Lord. So they would speak on behalf of God. The prophets drew from prayer the light and strength to exhort the people to faith and to conversion of heart. They entered into great intimacy with God and interceded for their brothers and sisters, to whom they proclaimed what they had seen and heard from the Lord. Elijah was the father of the prophets, of those who sought the face of God on Mount Carmel. He achieved the return of the people to the faith thanks to the intervention of God, to whom he prayed, "Answer me, O Lord, answer me." And as you know, by looking at the stories of the prophets, they were often met with a lot of resistance. We talked about Bartimaeus being told by the people to be quiet. The prophets heard a lot worse than that. But because they had this intimacy with the Lord, they were able to persevere. So I'd recommend that you get to know the Lord really good so that you can carry out your mission. It's a dark world out there. It's up to you and me to share the good news, to be kind to people, and let others know about Christ. What is the importance of the Psalms in prayer? Now, we just read today from Psalm 100, and I said it's a good prayer, as are many of the Psalms, especially when you don't feel it. When you don't have the words, you don't really know what to say, you can turn to the Psalms and help get you going. The Psalms are the summit of prayer in the Old Testament. The Word of God became the prayer of man. Inseparably, both personal and communal, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, this prayer sings of God's marvelous deeds in creation and in the history of salvation. Christ prayed the Psalms and brought them to fulfillment. Thus, they remain an essential and permanent element of the prayer of the church, suited to people of every condition and time. So you want to take the Psalms seriously, and I've grown to love them. It took me a little while to really appreciate the Psalms, but I have come to really love them. So I'd recommend, there are 150 Psalms in your Bible. Start looking at some of them. If you just look at the responsorial Psalm for Mass every day, that'll get you started. There are some great prayers in there, and of course they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, so you can let the Holy Spirit help you to pray. So that's really all I have about prayer today. Next week, we'll talk about prayer is fully revealed and realized in Jesus. I'm excited about that. I'm glad we decided to do this today. I'm glad I decided to do this today. I am running out of time now, so we're just about finished. I will be here tomorrow, God willing, And I hope you can join me as well. We'll look at the Mass readings for Sunday's Mass. If you have questions, please email me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. You know what? You're fantastic. Thanks for hanging out with me. God bless you. God willing, we'll talk to you tomorrow.